Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your presence. I want to thank you so much for sharing to us or imparting to us a word of encouragement. Father, I pray that all of us have paid attention to what the Spirit says so that we can do those things that you ask of us. So, Father, strengthen everyone by the presence of your Spirit that is here. Strengthen me as I share the word with your wonderful people. Father, we're looking forward to doing great things for the kingdom of God, and it only can be accomplished through the word of God. So as I share your word today, empower me to share it in such a way that everyone will hear it, understand it, receive it, and then act on it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, how many are glad you're here this morning? Praise God. Well, you know what? The Lord has put it in my heart that every Sunday is a divine appointment for you. He puts it on my heart what to share with you, because you're going to need it. Not only today, but you're going to need it that week. Amen. He even shared the word with us this morning, bond to it. Because evidently you're going to need it this week. The Lord don't waste his time speaking without purpose. Everything has a purpose. This morning I want to talk to you about something that is very important. Let's read verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. My message to you this morning is a message of grace. Notice what he says. Therefore come boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is very interesting verses. First of all, he can identify with humanity and what we need. Isn't that good news? You thought you were the only one in the place that you are? I'm sorry, we have a faithful and high priest who knows what you've been going through. But I like what he said, come boldly. You know, I don't mind a guy telling me to come to the throne of grace. It doesn't bother me one bit, but when I know the guy that created the throne of grace by reason of why we need it. We need the throne of grace. That's what is so unique. That is why that is a characteristic of our present dispensation. It went from Old Testament to New Testament, the dispensation of grace. Amen? Now, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Praise God. Praise God. Paul was quite a man of God. Paul's expertise was understanding the message of grace. In chapter 5 of Romans, look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice he says, by faith we have access into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Boy, that is a loaded verse. Again, I want to tell you that grace is the characteristic of our dispensation or generation. Now, one person said, grace is getting what you don't deserve, where mercy is not getting what you deserve. But I want you to notice here, he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, when you're a pastor and you see a lot of people go through the things that they go through, sometimes you begin to wonder, why are they going through what they're going through? It seems like they get out of one crisis and they get into another and into another and into another. Some of you might be in a crisis right now. And you're looking to God to help you get out of that crisis. And yet, because we don't understand the Word of God clearly like we ought to, a lot of times we come up with questions that we can't answer within ourselves by reason of what we're going through. How many of you can say this morning, I'm in a situation that I don't like being in? Few hands. The rest of us are undercover. Well, let's talk about grace for a moment because that's a loaded subject. First of all, I exist in this dispensation, this time period, simply because of grace. Without God's grace, I wouldn't have anything. Now, I want to share something about the tests and trials of life. They come our way. And a lot of times we don't have answers for a lot of the tests that we've gotten into. And so we begin to wonder and we lose the concept of the word called grace. Grace should never be viewed from the viewpoint of covering sin. Now, I want to say something about grace, and I want you to write this down so you don't forget it. But when you're looking at the biblical understanding of grace, you have to understand this one thing first, more than anything else. Grace is multidimensional in the Word of God. Grace is multidimensional in the Word of God. And what I mean by it, there are many aspects to the term grace. One of them is called saving grace. A lot of you probably heard about it. Saving grace, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. If you will, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we understand grace as a saving grace. Now, the word workmanship is a very interesting word. This is a Greek word, poimen. It literally means creatability. And so when we read this verse and we say, for we are his workmanship, we are the product of God's creatability. We are the product of God's creatability. And how did this happen? By grace. By grace. Simply because it is a gift given to you by grace, and we are God's entire creatability in us. Isn't that good news? Boy, you guys ought to do some shouting right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Man. Get you excited. Then, not only is it called saving grace, but it's also called sanctifying grace, purifying us and enabling us to live holy lives. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. That's why I cringe when people call themselves believers and then come across with the assumption that homosexuality is not a moral issue. It's an equality issue. It is a moral issue. When you're a believer, the grace of God does something to us. It creates a sanctification in our lives. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. This is the word teaching here is the word discipline. Teaching us, disciplining us, that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, the age of grace. Hallelujah. So we see now grace has what we call a sanctification to it. See, it's multidimensional. Then we have what we call a sharing grace. A sharing grace. This is where every favor and earthly blessing is to come to us. I want to read this one out of the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Woo! The reason I read it out of the Amplified, because that's kind of what the Greek comes across meaning. Boy, I like that. You got to get yourself an Amplified Bible and mark that verse right out for yourself. But we have what we call a sharing grace. This is where God is able to see to it that we're taken care of. That we'll always have enough. So that we don't have to always look for aid or help. But we'll always even have enough in our hand to be able to share by reason of the needs of the kingdom of God. Charitable donation. Ooh, I like that. I like that. I like that. Amen. Now, I know we had a move of the Holy Ghost here in the beginning, and I know we wish we could get back to that, but this is a direction God evidently wants to go. He's still moving. I like that. Another one about grace is serving grace. As good stewards, we may serve Him. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just want to get this down real good, because you guys better get ready for your shouting clothes. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Oh, I like this one. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you know that when you're serving the house of God, it is a grace that God was able to put into your heart so that it would keep you from being unproductive? Did you guys know that? God is able to put a grace in our heart to serve Him as good stewards. Look at this. Verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I got news for you. In order for you to be willing to be served or be a servant to the house of God, it's because God's grace got into your heart to serve the house of God. Woo! Look over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't this a good message? This is really going to help us straighten up. Hebrews chapter 12. Go to verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we know that if a person has received grace, the first thing that he's going to do with that grace, that gift of grace, to serve others, he'll do it. He'll get to serving others. Then we have what we call a ministry gift of grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. Let's go over there. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we see that grace also has a thing called ministry gift. And to each and every one of us in this building, we have that gift. It comes with the territory. Ministry gift. Now, let's look at James chapter 4, and let's look at how does grace come to us? Well, what is the prerequisite for us to receive how grace comes? Are you ready? Let's go to James chapter 4. Let's go to verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, I don't mean to be that rough on you guys. But notice what he says here. He says grace comes through humility. You know, if anybody's going to receive any grace, the first thing we have to understand, how humble am I? Have I eaten humble pie? So grace really comes through humility. You know, Dwight L. Moody said something God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. If you're so full of yourself, you're not going to find much grace working in your heart. Oh, come on, Jan. Let's have back to the music thing. I didn't say that. Dwight Moody did. But I like it. God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. Now, go to Romans chapter 5. We're just running around the whole Bible here. I think I'll come back. They preach the word here. Yes, praise God. Providing it's working on you. In Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Now, if you will, jump down to verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. You mean to tell me that grace came through Jesus and grace will reign through righteousness? Look at the next verse, chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You mean to tell me that God has given us a grace that we can rule and reign through this grace? Let's look at verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. Look at this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. So grace does something about changing us. So we find here on these few verses here, grace is never permission to do wrong. Grace is never a permission to do wrong. You guys want to go home? Should I finish the message? You know, something bothered me for years. Really bothered me. There's another aspect of grace we desperately need in our lives. Many don't know why they're not experiencing it. If you will, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, we're getting down to the part of the message. We need to go home. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. You know what this word obedience means? It means to yield to his superior command or force. By the things which he suffered. We got us a suffering doctrine going on here that many of us might not like. But I tell you what, those of us who are suffering need to understand the suffering doctrine so we can get out from under it. Now notice he says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. There is not one thing that Jesus ever did on planet Earth, are you ready, that you and I could not do if we were in his same shoes. Because he is an example of everything that we're capable of being able to perform and do. we don't like to really dwell on that. But go over to 2 Corinthians, and let's look at something very interesting. Something about grace that maybe we haven't really thought too much about. But we need to understand it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, there's been a lot of religious teaching out of these passages. Matter of fact, I got one Bible that was so accurate to the Greek. And I got into reading this part and it says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. Because of the abundance of revelation that was given to me, he did not want me lifted up in pride. I took that Bible and I threw it against the wall and I said, I'll never look at it again. Because it not only violated the Greek passage, but it violated the understanding of what Paul was saying. Have you ever asked yourself this question? If you have the devil dogging you, have you guys ever read about all the things that Paul went through to dog him? There was one, he said, three times I was in the shipwreck. I was just to the Isle of Patmos. I got on this little dinghy boat. And we started to go back home. And those waves were 15 foot high. And Tim wasn't pulling that boat 15 days like that. I got to thinking, man, he went through a whole lot. I upchucked everything I thought about eating. My poor son, he was following the Spirit. He moved from where he was sitting because I filled it with something else. I'm going to tell you something. Paul said several times they laid me on my back and beat me with stripes to my face. You always thought it was on his back. No, it was on his face, his chest. I don't know what the guy looked like. Probably not all that pleasant to look at if he was to appear today as he used to be, not as he is now in his glorified state. But I'm going to tell you, Paul went through a lot. And one of the reasons he went through a lot is Satan had to do something. He had to come at him to keep him as suppressed as possible because he did not want Paul promoted with what he knew. It wasn't he was trying to keep him humble. He wouldn't have got what he got if he wasn't humble to begin with. Come on, you don't get revelation because you want to become an intellectual, prideful person. God knew that he could give Paul revelation because he knew the heart of Paul would stay in that place of humility that he belonged. But notice what Paul was saying. I want you to get this. He was saying that God turned around and told him that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made in what? In weakness. My strength is perfect in weakness, therefore most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, how many of you might be going through something today? Have you ever thought about the fact that there's a part of grace that's available to you that you're not using? You know what it's called? It is called the grace of empowerment. A strengthening grace that will come to carry you through even at your weakest point in life. And Paul was just learning that aspect of grace right there. He didn't know it until that moment. He said, why am I going through this, God? Isn't there anybody else that he could pick on? And the Lord turns around and says, Paul, now listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a part of grace you don't understand yet. It's called the strengthening grace, the empowerment grace. That no matter what you go through, you can trust and rely on me even at your weakest point. My grace will overpower you, dynamis, overshadow you, and see you right through it, no matter what you're faced with. Now, you know why a lot of us don't take a hold of this kind of grace? Because we hadn't discovered it for ourselves. Why is that? Well, if the other aspects of grace have been ignored by your life, it's for sure this one won't do any good either. Ouch. If Satan was allowed to have access in the other areas of grace in your life, he surely will in this one. You cannot ignore the grace, the multifaceted grace of God in your life and expect to rely upon the grace of empowerment when you need it at your weakest point. See, a lot of us don't realize that this kind of grace will not work unless the other aspects of grace have been at work in our life. Why would Paul cry out and God answer him that way? Because God knew that this was one area of grace that Paul was not familiar with. But Paul was familiar with the other aspects of grace. Paul was being changed, transformed. Paul was definitely doing his ministry. Paul definitely knew what sharing grace meant, what serving grace meant, what sanctifying grace meant. He definitely knew what saving grace meant. He definitely knew about the ministry gift of grace. But Paul was not familiar with a grace that would empower him to overcome. See, Satan comes at you. And he wants to do one thing when he comes at you. He wants to take away the word that was sown in your heart, Mark 4:14-19. And you know, a lot of us get into the problems we're getting into. I'm going to tell you right now, basically because we're abusing the multifacets of grace in our life. You see, we want to carry on just like we want to carry on. And then when we get a thorn in our side, we cry out to God to help us. And yet we've abused the other aspects of His grace. That ain't going to work. Jesus said in Mark 4 that Satan is going to come after the word that was sown in you through tribulations, through persecutions, through the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things entering in and chokes the word out of you. Grace does not imply the absence of challenges or efforts in our life. Grace requires diligence. Grace requires to bond with the understanding of what it means. Now, if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Too many of us have been too churched that we don't see the concept of how important it is to live in grace, especially with other people in our life. Other people in life. Now, I'm going to say something, you might say, ouch. But a lot of you need more grace. Why? Because you're not given much. The more grace you receive is because you've given more grace. In Luke chapter 6. And let's go to Verse 27, but I say to you here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Boy, that's a new one. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic neither. Go beyond that. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. We ought to reword that, what we really do. You know, give back to men just what they did to you. Take care of this business right now. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good, lending and hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, people. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Given, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his master. The grace of God teaching every man, disciplining, bringing them up properly. Get rid of little church history, little cliches and things like that, and start having the mind of God. Because the more grace that grows in your heart, the more grace you'll be able to do for others. And I'm not talking about others that you happen to like. I'm talking about others you happen to dislike. I'll never forget talking with one minister. And I was enjoying his company, and he turned around and he said, God gave me a revelation of some people I got in my church. I said, oh, what revelation? Got devils. I said, oh, you had a gift of discerning of spirits. He said, no, I didn't have a gift of discerning of spirits. I could just discern. I knew right away this pastor was churched. God don't run around telling you that people have demons. Expose their laundry when I knew this particular minister was a liar and a cheater. You know something? When you judge other people, I guarantee you why you judge other people is because you're not happy with yourself. People that will judge other people are not free within themselves. You got to point your finger someplace else. Unless you're willing to point your finger back at yourself. When your heart has been graced and you're free, you'll do the same thing to others. That just goes with the territory. Grace is a very important thing. And I'm not talking about the grace to be able to carry on in sin because you're not capable of overcoming it. My Bible tells me the reason God's grace is there so you can overcome. And so my whole message is at this point. Every one of us is going to get a thorn working in our life. And we're going to need the grace of empowerment. Make sure that you did not behave yourself into that predicament. Paul did not behave himself into that predicament. Paul received from God, and therefore the enemy came. It wasn't because he behaved himself into a situation that warranted the enemy to come. Because if that's the case, then you will not understand the empowerment of the strengthening grace of God in your life. So wondering why you're going through what you're going through, I'll tell you what, quit wondering why and take a look at yourself. Shut up, Butler. It might just be that we don't have enough grace in us, working in us. Well, Tammy, maybe we better get up there and start singing. Break every chain. I told them how to do it. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, we sang the song, Break Every Chain, and I give you the key to breaking every chain. Take the full... When you get home, people, if you have a Strong's Concordance, get home, look up the word grace, and then tell me it's not multi-dimensional. You just can't put grace in one little corner saying it'll cover my whole lifestyle. It's not what grace is designed for. It's designed to change you as a person in the new kingdom of God called grace. We were translated out of the law into the kingdom of His grace. What a transfer. Well, you guys ready to go home? Yeah, I need to go home and lick my wounds. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your people. I love them so much, Father, that I am going to be very careful what I say about anybody in my body. Father, I want to be able to grace everyone here with unmerited favor. Father, I want Your faith at work in my heart so that I can enter into that area of grace with everybody. And so, Father, this morning as we close, Father, if there be anybody here that has never experienced the saving grace of You, we want to make that available. We want them to step out and come up and receive the grace of God. That is so powerful. To answer the call to the grace of salvation. What an honor, Father. So, Father, we reverently bow our heads. And if there's anybody here, don't be concerned about what people think if you come up. But please do come up right now. If you know you have not given your heart to the Lord and you would like to do that, we want to make it available to you right now. But if you've given your heart to the Lord and you've been away from Him and you haven't been walking with Him like you should, and you want to make that thing right now, this morning, feel free to come up. You won't be humiliated. You won't be embarrassed in any way. Matter of fact, we'll all be excited that you have. Hallelujah. So if you know you need to come forward, feel free to do that. For salvation or restoration, it's okay. Hallelujah. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on you. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. It's a wonderful language of your spirit. I will not give you a doctrine that will remove that. I give you a doctrine that will make you responsible for it. So if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free to come up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, are you guys ready to go home? You ready? Father, I thank You for these wonderful, wonderful people. And Father, may they go home. Have a safe trip home. And Father, may they give the kingdom of darkness hell. In Jesus' name, amen.